Okay, please open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter number 1. This morning we'll begin reading at verse number 8. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look once again to the things you have for us in this chapter, and the things that you have throughout your holy scriptures for us, we pray, Lord, that you would encourage us to live the kind of life that would not only be a proper Christian life, beneficial to others, edifying others, but also will be something that will enable us to receive a reward when we see you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. One more time, in verses 1 to 4, God has given us salvation and all that we need for eternal life. In verses 5 through 7, it's our responsibility to add to that such spiritual growth and such qualities of spiritual life that will make it possible for us to not only please God while we're in these bodies, but to receive a full reward when we leave these bodies and move into our permanent dwelling place. We've seen that the problem is short-sightedness. We see the immediate, but we don't see afar off. And because we don't see afar off, we tend to fall. The reasons for falling, as we have covered, verse number 9, going back to our old sins, those things from which God has purged us, those things popping back up in our life. Number 2, in verse 10, because we don't make our calling sure. What is our calling? Look at verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, that's eternal, and godliness. Well, that's right now. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory, that's eternal, and virtue. That's for right now. You've got a higher calling than the call to preach or the call to evangelism or the call to the mission field. You've been called to bring glory to God by living a virtuous life. And if you forget that, you will fall. And then the third thing that causes men to fall is that we don't make our election sure. You are in Christ. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And if you forget the exalted place to which God has taken you when he saved you, and the marvelous position that God has given you when he put you into Jesus Christ, you can be saved and just live like any old mortal bound for a grave when God wants you to live like a saved man and a saved woman who is bound for eternity. And then we saw last week that while it is true that all saved people enter into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, God wants us to diligently pursue spiritual things so that we might have an abundant entrance ministered unto us by our Lord and Savior. And then we saw that we will all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. We will all have what we did with God's life that He gave us, and God's salvation that He gave us while we're in these bodies. We'll receive the things that at the judgment seat of Christ, according to how we lived in these lives that God gave us. Okay. And we saw that we saw also that we will give account for ourselves and not for somebody else. And we considered the fact that we are going to a place where the one thing that everybody is excited about, that one thing, is Jesus Christ. Down here, there's 1,000 different things for us to be excited about. But we are going to a place where those things won't matter anymore to anybody. And what will matter where we're going is, what did you do for Jesus? How did you do it for Jesus? How did you bring honor and glory to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? That's all that's going to matter up there. All right, now this morning we're going to consider that judgment seat of Christ one more time. And we're going to look at some of the specific rewards that are available. And I can get specific about them because they're in the Bible. And these are things that are available to each and every one of us in that day when we stand before Jesus Christ. I mean, if you've heard these things before, and I'm sure most of you probably have, well, the Bible says that I would be negligent not to put you in remembrance of them one more time. All right, so now, here's why I say that. This week, zillions of trees, let's say, were killed to print newspapers to promote environmentalism. That's kind of a strange thing, isn't it? And in those newspapers, there was not one word about the specific crowns that can be gained by believers at the judgment seat of Christ. So people who spent their time with newspapers instead of the Bible might not have given any thought to crowns at the judgment seat, wouldn't you say? All right. There are, who knows, how many channels of television that you can beam right into your living room from the prince of the power of the air right into your eyeballs. And I doubt that any of those channels spent much time this week reminding you about the crowns that are available to the believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Those of you who have jobs, well, I would doubt that many of you went to work this week and were told by your employer, hey, don't worry about the size of your paycheck. Concentrate on getting those crowns at the judgment seat. Anybody have a boss told them that? But my point is, just because one time in our Christian life we did a Bible study or we heard a sermon about crowns at the judgment seat, certainly doesn't mean that we don't need to hear about it again, because it might be that we haven't given it any thought all week or all month or year or decade even. And if we leave this world today, that's the only thing that will really matter. If we leave this world today, we'll say, why didn't I give that more thought? Instead of being wrapped up and distracted by all those other things. Fair enough? All right, so first, let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Everybody get a handout or got your notes? Okay. First Corinthians chapter 9. We have five clearly specified crowns that are available that Jesus Christ himself is going to give you. What an amazing thing that is. A crown that Jesus Christ himself will give you. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, and verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Now, isn't that a strange thing there? We're going to a place where there's no pride. No pride. We're going to a place where there's no ego. We're going to a place where there's no boasting. But we're going to a place to which the Holy Spirit said, I want you to run so that when you get there, you will have gotten there better than anybody else who got there. I want you to run so that you can obtain every prize that is available to you. Now, come on, let me ask you something. I said this last week, I'll say it again this morning. People say, well, you know, as long as I'm saved, I don't care, as long as I get to heaven, well, that's all that matters. Look, if the Holy Spirit says it's a good thing to get saved, didn't you already find out that it is a good thing to get saved? If the Holy Spirit said that it's a good thing to get eternal life, hadn't you found out it is a good thing to have eternal life? If the Holy Spirit said it's a good thing to earn a crown at the judgment seat, well, don't you suspect that one day you'll find out he was right and it was a good thing to live so you can get some reward in this life, some reward that would carry over into eternity? Look at verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate. Okay, we talked about that, 2 Peter 1. In all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I wish the line was still that clear. Most of the we today are striving for corruptible crowns, aren't they? We have joined the they in devoting our time and our energy and our training and our schooling and our gifts and our abilities, devoting all of that to gaining corruptible crowns. But the Lord says we've got a they over there living for the temporal, the corruptible, and the we over there ought to be living for the eternal, things that you'll have forever. And then he says in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. How about that? And bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, a remarkable phrase. It's a corruptible crown versus an incorruptible crown. And corruption in the Bible is the word used for the steady and eventual total decay of your body of flesh. It gets corrupted. Okay, you know what the Lord said? If you will learn to live and continue to live in denial of the appetites of your flesh, God will give you a crown at the judgment seat of Christ for keeping your body in subjection. Well, how about that? You say, well, I just don't have a lot of gifts. I don't have a lot of talents. I don't have a lot of abilities. You don't have to have anything to do that except love the Lord. All you have to do to get that crown is believe the Word of God, submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, love God more than lust, and not let this body have its way. The flesh says, I don't want to pray. You say, I didn't ask you. We are praying. The flesh says, I don't feel like going to church. I'm tired. You know, I mean, well, we don't do push-ups here in church, right? We're not running laps. You're sitting, and I hope you're comfortable. But we can't lie down here. There's no place to lie down here. Well, you can go join some of the church members who like to hide out in that back room and sleep on the sofa back there if you want to. Just don't snore, please. You know, it's a matter of just telling the body, I'm not lighting up just because you said light up. I'm not having a temper fit just because you want to have a temper fit. I'm not cussing just because you were inconvenienced. You, flesh, are not running me. I'm running you. And the Lord said, if you keep your body under, keep your flesh under control, He will give you a crown for it. He'll give you a reward for it. You say, well, what's the big deal? Have you looked around? You've looked at this world we live in? It's a very big deal. I mean, think about the immorality in Noah's day. It was so great that God destroyed it with a flood. The immorality of the Canaanites was so great that God said, destroy every one of them and their pictures. The immorality in Israel, it was so great that God hauled them off into captivity. The immorality in Judah was so great that God hauled them off into captivity. The immorality in Babylon and Assyria and Greece and Rome was such that God destroyed them all. And now you've got nations that allow perversion to parade through the streets, and they call it good, where righteousness is undefined. And the Lord said, you know what? If you don't follow, if you will agree to this, if you won't follow the course of this world and you don't yield yourself to the lusts of the flesh, but you will keep your body in submission to my principles of righteousness, then I would be glad to put a crown upon your head. Well, I don't see what the big deal is. When you get to a place where everybody's clean and everybody's pure and everybody's holy and everybody's righteous, it will be a big deal if you lived that way right now down here. It's not a big deal down here, but it will be a big deal up there. Up there, you don't have Mardi Gras parties with men dressed like women dancing with other men. Up there, it's holy, 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 day and night, continually. And you will be glad that you lived and you stayed clean. You won't regret it. Okay, next let's look at James, chapter number 1. If you've got a marker in Peter, just turn back 2 books and you'll find James. This is similar but not identical. James chapter 1. There is a crown for keeping the body in submission, not letting your body do wrong things, okay? James 1:12, James chapter 1, verse number 12. Bible says this, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Now watch the context of this. Verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." Now here is a crown of life, and the crown of life is not given to those who refuse temptation, but to those who endure temptation. It's not given to those who have it easy. It's given to those who go through the trials of life without losing their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse 12. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that what? Love him." That love him. Now look, none of us gets to choose our trials, which trials we'll do, but we are going to face sore trials in this life. And that's a fact. Some may suffer physically in this body. Some may suffer having to watch a loved one who's suffering physically in their body. Some may suffer persecution. Some may suffer heartache. Some may suffer the loss of a loved one. Listen, there are many things in this life to try us, and it is common. It is common. It is the norm for people not to turn to God in trouble, but to turn from God in trouble. Not to seek the Lord in trouble, but to blaspheme the Lord in trouble. Not to draw nigh to God when times are difficult, but to turn away from God and to turn their shoulder to God in times of trouble. That's just the nature of the beast. And the Lord said, if you face your trials and go through those trials and you come out on the other side with your love for Jesus Christ still intact, you love the Lord just as much as you did before that trial, he said, I will place a crown upon your head and reward you for being faithful and true to me in spite of what life brought your way. God didn't send that. Adam mailed that out a long time ago. It just took a while to get delivered to you. It may not have been Adam at all, by the way. It may be some of that reaping that God promised that you'd do for that which you sowed. You know, some things you put a return address on and you mailed it out a long time ago. And you didn't think they'd ever come back. But here it comes. Return to sender. Just write it out, get on through it, and one day you are going to leave this old world, and if you leave this world still in love with Jesus, the Lord will put a crown upon your head that said, I didn't blame God for my troubles. I didn't curse God in my trials. I didn't walk away from God when it seemed like He was far from me. I just kept on going because I loved Jesus in the good times, and I loved Jesus in the bad times, and I loved Jesus when the sun was shining, and I loved Jesus when the rain was falling, and I just kept right on to the end loving Jesus. And the Lord says, that's all I ask. That's all I can ask of anybody. And you know, you don't have to have any talent for that. You don't have to have any special ability for that. Well, I'm not a good speaker. I don't have a good personality. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about just sticking with it. Just staying true to the Lord. He'll give you a crown for that. Hallelujah. Some say, well, I don't care. You will care when you get to a place where nobody quit. It's not that big a deal when you quit in a town that's full of people who quit. Come on, there isn't a pastor living that wishes the church didn't have all those old photos and membership books and all the rest of that, because it reminds them of who used to be here and who quit, who's not there anymore. It's heartbreaking. But you're going to a place where everybody crossed the finish line. You're going to a place where everybody there is saved and serving the Lord. And you will be glad that you served Him right on through to the end. And you know, the story's been told by preachers, I guess as long as there's been preachers, about a guy that just got mad at God and he went to the Lord and he said, Lord, that's it. It's too much. It's just too tough. It's too hard. Too many heartaches. Too many troubles. Too many burdens. I'm sorry, Lord, but I'm quitting. And the Lord says, that's all right. Just sit down right there. We're going to have the rapture in 5 minutes. Quit too soon. Could He come today? Could the Lord come today? Sure He could. So don't quit today. Could He come next week? Yeah. So don't quit next week. Well, I don't think I can get through this. Well, you might not have to get through it. You might be taken out of it. That trumpet might sound sooner than you think. And if it doesn't, well, just write it out. Say, well, if I wasn't living for the Lord, I wouldn't even have these troubles. Yes, you would. Sure you would. You would just get nothing for it at the end of it. But the saved man, the saved woman, at the end of our troubles, the Lord will put a big crown on our head. Well done. Well done. You stayed in love with me through it all. Well done. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Crown of rejoicing? What is that for? Getting to heaven and having taken people with you. Now, hear me carefully. You can't make anybody get saved. I think you've probably learned that already if you've tried. you can make people pray a prayer, sure, but you can't make anybody get saved. But if you got to heaven, if you got to heaven and showed God your children's picture in the newspaper, but your children were in hell, you wouldn't have anything to rejoice in. You wouldn't be rejoicing. If you got to heaven and showed God your children's diploma, straight A's. Look, God, look at their report cards, straight A's. And yet your children were in hell, you wouldn't have anything to rejoice in. But if you got to heaven, no matter what social standing, no matter what material accomplishments your children had achieved, if you got to heaven and your children were there, would you not have something to be happy about? Then I ask you something. What is the most important matter in raising our children? It's got to be getting them to Jesus. You say, my kids are saved. Great. Are their classmates saved? Then should we not train them to glory in winning others to Jesus Christ and not glory in winning temporal accomplishments and crowns? Come on. In that day when we get to heaven, you're not going to rejoice in getting enough votes to be president or getting enough votes to be the mayor. You're going to rejoice if you got anybody to go to heaven with you. There is going to be joy in the presence of the Lord, not over the money that we accumulated here, not over the property that we accumulated, not over the fame and the fortune that we accumulated, but over the people we took with us to heaven because we won them to Jesus Christ. The Lord is not going to put a crown on my head because I had a beautiful house. He's not going to put a crown on my head because I was the best golfer in my neighborhood. He's not going to put a crown on my head because I visited the most exotic locations, traveled the world. He's not going to put a crown on my head because I was in the Forbes 500 as a successful man. He's going to put a crown on my head because I'm going to rejoice if somebody is in heaven and not in hell because I lived for Jesus Christ and pleaded with that person to get saved and I won them to Jesus Christ. The long view. You got to see afar off. Sure, go to work, but don't just go to work for money. Go to work for souls. Long view. Live in that neighborhood, but don't just live there to have a nice home. Live there to win souls. Long view. Get an education, yeah, but don't just go to school to get grades. Go to school to get souls. The Lord's going to put a crown on your head if you do. And I said it last week, I'll say it again. You know that phrase, you can't take it with you? That's not true. If you win some people to Jesus, you can take them with you. You do things for Christ, you can take it with you. You live for the Lord, you can take it with you. You can't take any material thing with you, but you can take all your spiritual things with you. That's right. Okay, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. All right, wouldn't it be nice to have three interlocking crowns stacked on top of the other? Well, I don't see why that's such a big deal. You will when you get to a place where that is the big deal. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So here is a crown for being the right example and providing the right instruction and the right care for that which is under your authority. And it's often been called the pastor's crown or the elder's crown or the minister's crown, but it's bigger than that. It's bigger than that. Hey, sir, do you have a wife? Are you the head of the wife? That's what the Bible says. Well, wouldn't you like to set an example for her so that you can be rewarded on the day of judgment for your care and your oversight? Sister, does the Bible say that you are to guide the house? Guide the house? Well, wouldn't you like to get rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ for your care and oversight of that house, of your family? Boys and girls, if all you've got is a closet full of clothes and a bedroom, well, if I was you, I'd learn as quick as I could to keep that neat and keep it clean and keep it orderly and have everything just the way Mom and Dad wants it. You say, why? Well, because that's what you are over. That's what you're over. That's what you're responsible for. So start learning right now to do the best that you can with what God puts in the power of your hand. Because God rewards those that do the best that they can with what He puts in their hand. You know, church is a weird thing. Church isn't like anywhere else. There's no place else like church. Nobody goes to the sporting goods store and gets a pair of running cleats and a football and then wants to be the head coach of the team. No little girl goes to the store and buys a box of cake mix and a baking pan and wants to be the head chef at a 5-star restaurant. But the church, full of people that got saved 3 weeks ago, and they have a Bible, and they want to be a preacher. Everybody wants to be a preacher. They don't want to go on visitation and preach house to house. They don't want to go to a jail and preach to 7 guys in a holding cell. They don't want to teach 5 little runny-nosed kids in Sunday school class. They want the pulpit. I don't know any other place like that. Everywhere else, you earn a place of leadership by faithful service in the smaller positions. And then you work your way up. Oh, I can preach. You know, preacher, if you ever need me, I can preach. Well, I do need you. I need you to go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that the Lord's house may be filled. That's scripture. I do need you. I need you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All that. Well, that's not what I meant. Well, I know what you meant, but what you meant is you don't want to be the water boy or the referee. You want to be the head coach. Now look, let's get all of that out of our minds for a minute. If you have a house, if you have a shop, if you have a bedroom, if you have a class where you teach, you have a place of responsibility. And God will reward you for your faithful service and your good example in that place of responsibility. He doesn't care what size it is. He cares about the quality. He doesn't care about the scope of the influence. He cares about the proper use of the influence. You have a place of influence. You do. You have a place where your example is for good or for evil in the eyes and in the lives of others. And God will reward you if that example is right. Well, you know, when I grow up, listen, the oldest child in our children's fellowship is setting the tone for all the other children. You know, that oldest child is the example for the other children. And if I may say so, she's doing a very good job of it. And I believe that. Okay? The Lord doesn't care if there's only five kids up there. You know, how you handle that, that's what's important. It's as important as how Billy Graham handles a crusade with 80,000 people there. You understand that? You believe that? The Lord doesn't say he's going to give you a crown if you oversaw a lot of people. He said he's going to give you a crown if you set the right example for the people that you did oversee. The people who were looking to you for an example. Did you do it right? Did you do good in that responsibility? Look, our materialistic mindset is, well, if it's not big, then it's not important. In God's mind, if it's right, it's important. It's not about big and small. It's not about great and few. Look, if it was about numbers, Jesus wouldn't have come 2,000 years ago to a little town like Bethlehem. He would have come today to New York City or something. He'd have come to Calcutta, India. Lots of people. Now think about it. If numbers matter, why is the biggest crowd you can gather 5,000 if the Bible said that the whole city came out to see him? And they only got 5,000 people there? Man, if numbers matter, Jesus should have come this year to London, for example. It's not about numbers, though. It's about being right, as right as you can be for God, setting the right example for those who have their eyes on you. And if that's the three people on your job site, or the 20 kids in your classroom, or the seven homes in your neighborhood, or the congregation under your voice when you stand in the pulpit, it all matters the same, but it matters. You know, people attend Bible conferences and they get all fired up. And then they go back home and they get all depressed. Because there's a lot of people at the conference, but there's only a few people where they go back home to. That doesn't matter. You could have 500 at the Bible conference and none of them is doing right. And you can have five where you go back home and you and four others are doing right. God's not going to say, well, I would give you a reward, but there was only five of you. Look, this crown is for those that do right in their sphere of influence. All right. Next, 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. Wouldn't you like to have four beautiful crowns stacked up on your head at the judgment seat of Christ? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. 2 Timothy 4, 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now wait, wait. People say, well, that I'm sure I can get that one. That's easy, because I want the Lord to come. That's not what it said. It's not a crown for people that want to get raptured. It's not a crown for people that want to leave this crummy world and get to a beautiful heaven. It says that love his appearing. This crown is for people who want to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. Now look, I like those old country gospel hillbilly songs as much as anybody else. But if you want to go to heaven so that mama can greet you with a kiss when you get there, well, I don't blame you. But there's no crown for that. If you want to go to heaven so grandpa can come running through the water and greet you at the shore and splash through the crystal river, I get that. I understand. I can see why a person would look forward to that. But look, if relationships are anything up there like they are down here, I'm looking forward to seeing my grandparents again. But I'm not going to get a crown because I want to see grandpa. Okay? This crown is for people who say, you know what, I love the love of my life is Jesus Christ. I've been writing him letters. I've been sending him notes. I've been calling him on the phone. I've been serving him. I've been trying to be as ready as I can for the day that I meet him face to face. And I just can't wait to be with Jesus. Look, if you're sick in your body and you want the Lord to come and get you free from all of your aches and pains and get you into a new body so that you don't hurt anymore, I don't blame you one bit. That's a great reason to want Jesus to come, but you don't get crowned for that. If you want to get out of this world so that you can go to a place where there's not all this sin and wickedness and temptations and unhappiness. Look, I understand. I get that. And I'm just as ready as you are to get out of that stuff. Let's get out of here and go to a better place. But you don't get crowned for that desire. The crown is for those that love his appearing. Let's be fair. Let's be fair, if you don't love Jesus, then you want to get raptured for you. If you don't love Jesus, you want to go to heaven for you. Well, that's better than going to hell. That's why I got saved. How about you? Isn't that why you got saved? I got saved for me. It was strictly for me, so that I could go to heaven because I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't know much about heaven. I knew some about hell, and that was all I needed to know. If heaven had just been even just a flat, barren ground that wasn't on fire, that'd be okay. It'd be better than hell. I didn't want me to go to hell. But you don't get a reward for that. You get a reward for loving Jesus. I want the Lord to come today. Not to get me out of here, but I want to be with him. I want to see his face. I want to quit walking by faith and start walking by sight. I want to be in the presence of my Lord and in the presence of my Savior. Old Isaac sent that camel train to get Rebekah. And there was not one word about her being excited about those camels. Not one word about her being excited about what gifts he was bringing on those camels. She was excited about him. I'm going to see Isaac. I get to see Isaac. You know, the preaching I hear about heaven sounds like it's more about the exceeding material things that are there when compared to the material things that are here. No, it's heaven. The only reason it is heaven is because Jesus is there. And there's a crown for those that love his appearing. All right, now come to the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter number 4. If the Holy Spirit tells me to try and gain these crowns, if the Bible says there are crowns to gain, surely in eternity we will realize they were of tremendous value and importance. Don't you think? Revelation 4, the Bible says in verse number 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Okay, not a coexistence of deities, just one on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald, a green rainbow. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Look at that. There are people, they've been caught up to heaven, they are sitting round about the one on the throne, and they're wearing crowns upon their heads. Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Verse 8, and the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. How much do you think of what will be in tomorrow's newspaper matters to those people? How much of what you think men give awards to other men for will matter to that crowd? Verse number 9. Verse 9, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. All right. Let's try and put this in terms that we can understand now. We are going to celebrate, let's say we're going to celebrate your birthday. And everybody that comes to see you has brought a gift. But then I come to your birthday gathering and I say, "Oh, hi friend, I didn't get you anything." I don't have to be mean and say, "So you're having a birthday? Big deal. I didn't get you anything." I just didn't bring it. That's all. All right? My Savior, He's sitting on His throne. And here come those that love Him. Crown, 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 crown. And you get there. Well, I'm saved, but singed. I don't have to say anything to my Lord. The fact that I brought no gift says all that needs to be said about what I think of the one who shed His blood to save my soul. I'm there. Yeah, I'm at the party. I ate the cake. I ate the pretzels. I participated in the games. I enjoyed all the benefits of being invited to the party. I just didn't bring you a gift because you weren't all that important to me. And here's Jesus Christ on the throne, and I'm there in heaven. I'm going to eat at the banquet. I'm going to enjoy the millennial kingdom. I've got eternal life. And these people, they're throwing their crowns at His feet, saying to Him, "You know what? You meant something to me. You meant something to me. You meant something to me." And I stand there, and I'm there. Here I am. I got everything I could get from Him, and I've got nothing to give Him. Well, you don't have to. Salvation's not by works. I understand that. But it sure does say something about how I valued my Savior when I come to the party where they're celebrating His glory and I brought no gift. I don't want to live this life for me. I don't want to live this life just for what I can get out of it for my temporal employment. I want to spend what time and energy and talent and opportunity I have to purchase something that I can bring to the one sitting on that throne. So that when the saints of all the ages line up to show their appreciation, I can show my appreciation too. It will matter then. It will matter. This world is set up to make it where it really doesn't matter. But we're going to a place where that's all that's going to matter. We're going to a place where that's all that matters. Amen. Would you stand and we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the life that You've given to us. We thank You, Lord, for giving us a purpose in this life and responsibilities in this life. And we thank You, Lord, for giving us Your Word that instructs us and tells us what to do with the life that You've given us. And you've been very specific, and we appreciate that, Lord. And so we just pray that You'd continue to remind us and help us to live our lives in a manner that would edify others, help others, lead others to a saving knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Lord, let us not waste our days. Help us not to waste this life in trying to gain material things that are going to be burned up anyway. But help us, Lord, to strive to earn these crowns that you have promised to us if we will be faithful in doing the things that we're supposed to do, denying the flesh, living for you, Lord, and trying to help others to do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.